Over the last year, Father Eric has ably demonstrated to us the ability of fiction to be able to communicate truths. They may not be facts, but they communicate truth within the story. And so, dovetailing on that, I'll give something far less complex than he often talks about, all right? This is a long time ago, maybe 20 years or so ago, I read this beautiful little short story, maybe 4,000 or 5,000 words. And the beginning of the story was kind of an aging semi-matriarch of an extended family, sharing stories of the family history with her nieces and nephews and their children and that sort of thing. And as she's sharing these stories, the younger kids in the audience are kind of holding on to every word. They're interested in what their great aunt is saying. Sorry, confirmation students, but the teenagers are like looking at the ceiling and they're rolling their eyes because they've heard this 1,000 times and don't need to hear it again and that sort of thing. And then there's one on the next generation, one of her nieces, one of the older ones, who begins to kind of feel some empathy for her aging aunt, because as she's sharing the story, she begins to get lost in some of the details and begins to involuntarily repeat things. And she knows that her beloved aunt is in the early stages of memory loss, all right? And so, obviously, this is a story that can connect almost universally. There's probably not a family on the planet that hasn't experienced in some way memory loss and cognitive decline. And so one would expect that the story would engage the challenge of caring for this aging aunt. But in fact, that's not the direction it goes. The older niece has the conversation while she's still in the early stages, and her aunt understands that she's losing her memory and it's in decline. And as they're having this conversation, the aunt tells her niece, she says, "Now you have to do it. You have to be the one to tell the stories, to know the stories, to share the stories, to make sure the history of our family goes on to the next generations. It's now your responsibility." And she panics. She absolutely panics. She panics because she doesn't think she's equipped. She also panics because she has such reverence and love for her aunt, who did this so capably and beautifully for basically her entire life, that she can't do it. She can't do it. She does not think that she is capable, and she's frightened of having this responsibility. And so as we share and experience the beauty and the glory of the ascension of Jesus back into heaven, what we are doing is reminding ourselves of the importance of the story and the duty and the call and the mission of telling the story. Ascension is about mission. It's about Jesus, after appearing for 40 days, gathering the apostles and others together and saying, "Okay, this is now what you're doing. This is now what you're doing. Go out and proclaim to all the nations. Tell the story." Luke, and at the beginning of Acts, is telling Theophilus, the guy he's writing to, essentially, I wrote this part of the story, telling what Jesus did, okay, did and said. Now the next part of the story is sharing what those who followed him immediately did and said, and how they responded to his call and mission. St. Paul tells us in Ephesians how this is going to continue. By people who are following the Lord to live in a spirit of humility, gentleness, peace, no conflict among them. All those things, those characteristics that need to be part of Christian community. It's about telling the story. There's a lot of things that we do in mission, okay? There's a lot of things that we do in mission. But nothing is more important than sharing the story. Sharing the story of Jesus. He's born of the Virgin. He taught. He did miracles. He suffered, died, was part of a corrupt system that took his life, rose again from the dead, appeared to people, then ascended back into heaven, and will return again in glory. That is the story. That is the story, right? And the truth is, the story of Jesus, the story of our Christian faith, is one of truth. It's a one of life. It's one of redemption. It's one of hope. And our stories are competing, all right? We are part of a world in which the stories are competing. Right? And that story of life, of truth, of redemption, of hope, is constantly competing against a story that has a lot more legs, it feels like now, one that is of lies, it's of death, and it's of despair. And we see it all the time. And so if the story of life is going to get passed on, we have to know it. We have to know it. Even if we might feel ill-equipped to do it, that we don't have the skills or whatever, it does not take a biblical scholar or a historian or a theologian to be able to share the story of Jesus. It does not. It does not. And we are at serious risk, we're at serious risk of not knowing the story well enough to pass it on, all right? I keep hearing that. Keep hearing things like our children, and even children that are coming to church on a very frequent basis are not necessarily versed. They're not necessarily versed in the story of who Jesus is. I remember as a seminarian at my teaching parish, I was giving a handful of families just a very simple, basic tour of the church, kind of showing them things. We walk into the confessional, and one of the kids sees Jesus on a crucifix, and he kind of gets unnerved. What's that? What's that? Jesus on the cross, and it kind of embarrassed his mother. It embarrassed his mother. This is like a fourth or fifth grader who should understand that Jesus went to the cross, died for us so that our sins would be forgiven, and he didn't know it. He didn't know that part of the story. And so this mother immediately goes out. She immediately goes out and purchases an age-appropriate Bible for her child and her family and begins reading the Bible stories practically every night to her family, in order to communicate the story so that they would know it and be able to share it. The story is beautiful. The story is true. And the story is essential, all right? It's essential. All of our confirmation students will, of course, remember exactly what I said either last Sunday morning or Wednesday morning, okay, about the stages of conversion, spiritual, moral, and intellectual, all right? The spiritual is the who, all right? The spiritual part is the who of Jesus is. The moral part is the what, all right? The what it means to do what he asks us to do and not do that, all right? And too often, the story gets confused with the what, all right? It gets confused with the what. And then when we focus on the what without the who, it becomes out of context and makes no sense. It makes no sense to a lot of people. The story begins with the who. And yes, we might feel ill-equipped, okay? We might feel ill-equipped. But the end of this Easter season is all about being equipped. Jesus says, wait for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will give you the words. Wait for it. It will come, and you will be equipped. And the Acts of the Apostles then is the whole story of how they did that. That they responded not because they were great scholars, but because they had listened to the story, lived the story, and then chose to communicate the story. The story is powerful. And in a world of competing stories, God's is the best. God's story is the best. He invites us to be part of it. He invites us to learn it. He invites us to know it. And he also invites and calls us to share it. With all the things that we do, the most important thing, all right, the most important thing is receiving and communicating the story. It's no reason to be panicked, even though it might make us a little bit nervous. But we need to equip ourselves. And concretely, I'll just offer you one thing. Okay, one thing. If you have grandchildren, if you have nieces and nephews, if you have godchildren who do not have an age-appropriate Bible, get them one at the next appropriate giving time. And you can even ratchet it up one more level and actually read it with them. To read, to learn, to know, and to be equipped to pass on that best story. That story of truth, of life, of redemption, and of hope that Jesus invites us to both live and to share.